That was nine?
Nine, that was nine.
Okay, so we're up to 12.
22,170.
20, what? 22,017?
22,170.
Oh, geez, I'm not doing well with eyesight today.
That's right, you said 22,170.
22,179. Sorry, case number 10.
I'm in my mid-40s, I had to get these, I can't remember.
Yes, I had, that's twice today, I think. Are you the appellant, sir?
I am.
Good afternoon, everybody. Sir, can you please identify yourself and your witness for the record?
I can. Trooper Kevin Eklund, E-K-L-U-N-D, and I represent the town of Tallinn. And with me is Detective Christopher Sackett, S-A-C-K-E-T-T, and he's with the state police.
Okay, Trooper, you may make an opening statement if you'd like.
Thank you, ma'am. Good afternoon. Today, the issuing authority is denying the appellant based on suitability. The issuing authority will present evidence, witnesses, and information pertaining to the appellant. The evidence presented today will show that the appellant has a pattern of poor judgment, recklessness, deceit, and lack of responsibility necessary to possess a firearm.
Sir, would you like to make an opening statement?
Yes, I'm Vincent DiFilippo.
Okay, you can remain anonymous if you, I don't know if you heard that part. I'm trying to let it out of the back, but okay. you don't have to, nobody here has to refer to your name. You are anonymous at this point.
Okay. Well,
didn't mean
I have
to interrupt
to
you,
hide.
But you, yeah, okay. All right, go ahead.
I would like to say that I'm a business owner. I'm a homeowner in town hall, in the town of Tallinn. I'm a taxpayer. I do feel I'm suitable. It is my constitution right to have to carry a gun, and I do have other evidence I would like to add, if possible, because we did not receive the mail for even the first date until 3/13. So I didn't even know what. So police were even bringing it up against me. So I had a few other things. Once I reviewed what they were saying about me, I prepared other documents.
Okay, sir. So you got the letter from us indicating you had to present us with any evidence and 10 days prior to today's hearing, correct?
Right.
And then you got that on
the 13th.
Which is
3 days after.
Am I not?
It's the 23rd.
Am I bad?
10 days.
10 days. Today's the 23rd.
Okay. Well, one, I feel, important document is that I never had a claim on my insurance. And another is...
So maybe a better way of looking at this, sir, is he's going to put on his case. You'll have the opportunity to cross-examine. Then you'll put on your case.
Okay.
I'll be able to cross-examine you if there's an evidence.
And then I have
you.
A witness, too. Yeah.
That's fine. Yep, you're entitled to that. So that's how we're going to proceed. So are you done with your opening statement, which is just a general overview of what you're presenting here?
Well, I do feel there's a bias against me by the troopers right now. And they're demonizing me for some reason, which I feel that's what some of the evidence that I want to add show.
Thank you, sir. Trooper, you may proceed.
Thank you, ma'am. On 2/23/2021, the appellant swears to the accuracy of the permit application under 53A-157B. And on that application, his initial pistol permit application, he did check off the box, yes, that he has been arrested under the criminal history. However, he put one date of 2020 on that application. He also checked off the box that he had never been convicted before. So with that, ma'am, with your permission, I'd just like to read the declaration on the back of the pistol permit.
Go ahead.
I understand that any false statement herein, which I do not believe to be true, and which is intended to mislead a public servant in a performance of his or her official function, is punishable by law under CGS 53A-157B. I further understand that any statement in this application that is determined to be false or inaccurate shall constitute grounds for denial of such application. If approved before the facts are known, such approval shall be void if based on false or inaccurate statement. My signature below attests to the accuracy, the completeness, and to the truth of all information supplied on this application. I declare under the penalties of false statement that the answers to the above are true and correct. With that, I'd like to direct the board's, the committee's attention to the appellant questionnaire that the appellant signed on in August, and looks like the board received that on September 3rd, 2021. So in his application questionnaire, under number 19, state here any additional facts which would support your case, state what you want the board to do, and why you do feel the board should grant your request. In there, he lists all the arrests that he had, including in 1999, 2000, 2019, and 2020. However, he failed to put those on his initial pistol permit application. On 3/11/2021, I began a background check after running the appellant through the state police criminal history, is where I discovered those arrests that he failed to put on his initial application. Those arrests stem from 1999 for a demolition code violation, where it was 1 year conditional discharge. Arrest number two came in 2000, where he was convicted, 1 year probation, a $500 fine. Arrest number three was in 2019, where he gave a false statement to a Connecticut state trooper. And on 5/15/2020, he was arrested for trespassing. Both the trespassing and the false statement are Class A misdemeanors. On 4/11/2021, I confirmed all of those criminal arrests, or those arrests through the SBVI fingerprint system once those prints came back. So now I would like the committee to direct your attention to, I believe I labeled it Exhibit 1, which is the report in the incident regarding the false statement to a state trooper.
I don't know if we have numbers.
Do you have a case number, trooper?
I'm sorry. 1800-602-752.
From 2018?
Yes.
There it is. Got it.
Okay. So at the time, Detective Sackett was the investigating trooper in this particular incident. And Detective Sackett, how many years do you have on the job?
Currently over 14 years.
Okay. And you were the investigator for this particular incident?
I was.
Okay. So on 12/17/2018, you were dispatched to 390 Old Post Road to meet with the appellant, is that correct?
That's correct.
And now can you just lay out to the board and to the appellant the steps of the investigation that you took and also the conclusion that you came to?
Sure. I can do it from memory. I have some notes here.
Yeah, you can do some notes.
So I was dispatched to the appellant's home on 12/17/18 at 16:48 hours. The appellant had called Troop C to report that a hydraulic hammer was missing from his property. I would determine that the hydraulic hammer weighed 7,500 pounds and would cost anywhere from $100,000 to $65,000 to replace this missing piece of equipment. The appellant indicated that the last time he had seen this piece of equipment on his property at this quarry was on Saturday, December 15th of 2018, around 1100 hours when he was walking his dogs. So when I arrived on scene, I took some pictures. It was getting dark. I believe I took a DNA swab of a on and off switch. At this quarry, there was a large excavator, 19, I believe the appellant said it was 19 years old. So it was this old excavator type of machinery. And into the rear of it, he explained to me that's where this piece of equipment was. It's this hydraulic hammer. And it was now missing. I took some pictures. I got a statement from the appellant, and after that I cleared. Prior to my ending my shift, dispatch received a call from a Connecticut State Trooper, who is now a sergeant, from a neighbor of the appellant's, and said, "Hey, listen, I have some knowledge here of an event that." The appellant, I believe, is lying to the trooper. If he's claiming that this was stolen, it was not stolen. So I went back to the appellant's address at that point, kind of having that information, wondering if he was going to just kind of be truthful, maybe change the story, whatever the case may be. I went to his house there, 390 Old Post Road. I said, "Hey, by chance, you know, do you know anybody with a dually pickup truck or a large truck that's going to be able to pick this 7,500-pound hydraulic hammer? Someone had a working knowledge of this equipment and would have come prepared to pick up this piece of equipment and steal it." And I asked him, "Can I look at your cell phone?" And the appellant kind of was shocked at my request and. He took it out and he began, I asked him, my lead question was, have you been around a dual-wheeled vehicle? And at this time, the appellant couldn't give me a definitive answer and kind of gave me a blank stare. And I said, he then took out his cell phone and just kind of started looking at pictures. I don't know what he was looking at, and it was just odd behavior for a simple yes or no question. Were you around a dual type of a vehicle? And I then saw two contacts on his cell phone. One being, I said, "Well, who is this you were talking to on Saturday?" One was Kevin O'Sullivan, who owns an excavating business. I would later find out. And the other one was an electrician. Looking at his cell phone when he had it out, I said, "Well, what's this picture of a red dually tired flat bed truck with New Hampshire registration plate? Who is that?" And I would later find out that truck belonged to a service that was prior to me being called that looked into finding whether or not this piece of equipment would be fixed from New Hampshire. So 2018, on the 18th of December, I did a neighborhood canvas. While doing that, there was a person in a work truck that was leaving the quarry. I had a chance to talk to him real quick. His name is Joe Brown. He explained that he was very familiar with the excavator, this hydraulic hammer. He said, "As far as I know, it's still there." I said, "Well, no, it's not." So he and I went back and we looked at this excavator. He said, well, that's where it was. It was underneath this arm of the excavator. And you see that big spot right there? That's the oil from the hydraulic hammer and the hydraulic fluid. I recognized that. I think I took a few more pictures. He explained that this piece of equipment, which I kind of... Something had to pick this hydraulic hammer up. this piece of equipment would take 45 minutes to start. It's very old, and it would take a long time to start. The 20th of December, I contacted Anthony Burkauskas, B-U-R-O-K-A-S, who had previously looked at the hydraulic hammer. I believe the appellant said that he was a mechanic or someone he knew, and that's where I got that person's phone number and contact information. So 2 months prior to that, this person had looked at the hammer and determined that he could not fix it, but then he recommended a company in New Hampshire would come and pick up this 7,500-pound hydraulic hammer, bring it to New Hampshire, evaluate it, and then determine whether or not the appellant wanted, I guess, to fix it and or to have it fixed. And it was then brought back to Tolland as apparently it wasn't going to be fixed, and I don't know the reason why. Maybe it was too much money to fix it. On January 2nd, 2019, I contacted Kevin O'Sullivan, who explained that he owns an excavating business and was not certain the last time he was at the quarry in Tolland. O'Sullivan explained that he was in the process of making funeral arrangements for his 47-year-old son who had died recently and would get back to me in about a week. So on January 7th or January 8th, he did not call me back. He did not call me back, and I attempted to call him, and his voicemail system was full. So he and I never talked again. Finally, the witness that who had contacted the state trooper the day that I went originally, he had been busy. I finally got a sworn written statement from him, just kind of articulating what he saw on that Saturday afternoon. I have a 2 or 3 page statement from that person, that witness.
And let me ask you this about that statement. So that statement that was given to you by that witness, did he describe the appellant being at the controls of that excavator?
He did.
Okay. And did he make any value of how many percent he was sure about that being on there?
I believe it was 100%. Okay. Yeah, or he was sure. He was definitive that was the appellant at the controls of this excavator that I've described.
And what was he saying that the appellant was doing with the hydraulic hammer drill?
He was actively loading that hydraulic hammer onto a flatbed truck.
Okay. And that would have been prior to him reporting this storm?
Correct. That was the Saturday, the 15th, 2 days prior. Okay.
Was that witness, was he afraid of any kind of retaliation by giving the statement?
He did mention that, yes, he did.
Okay. Go ahead, you can continue.
Again, twice in the month of June, I wanted to reach out to Kevin O'Sullivan, who I thought would have information regarding this case, and I was unable to do so as his voicemail system was full and would no longer accept messages. On July 31st, the appellant contacted me and wanted to know how his investigation was going. And I just said to him, hey, I'm trying to get a hold of Mr. O'Sullivan, and would you please call him? And the appellant explained that he would attempt to call O'Sullivan and ask him to call me. On September 10th, 2019, I had applied for an arrest warrant for a false statement just based on the witness's statement that I received from him. And that arrest warrant was signed, and I contacted the appellant on September 12th, and at which time, and left him a voicemail saying I'd like to come to Troop C so we could talk. And at that point, 19:30 hours, he came to Troop C, at which time I placed him under arrest.
Thank you. So with that said, the appellant had given a statement basically saying that his hammer drill was stolen. An independent witness who's a neighbor, and according to the appellant at the time he provided the statement, was also a friend, gave a statement that the appellant was actually on the machine, loading that piece of equipment onto a flatbed truck, and it was removed from the property. And that's hence where the false statement came into place, an arrest warrant was applied for, state's attorney approved the arrest warrant, and the judge ultimately signed that warrant for the false statement. So now I'd like to direct your attention to exhibit number 2, which is case number 2000-212670. So in this report, there's this company that was managing the same quarry that was involved with the missing piece of machinery. This management company had come in to operate the property. The town had issued permits to allow them to operate the property, and it ultimately, with that in mind, was their property. So on March 20th, this company contacted our office and asked if we could have a state trooper up on that property present while they put up some gates and fencing and no trespassing signs, etc. While that fencing was being installed, we had a trooper present. The appellant arrived on the scene and was asked to leave the property due to the fact that he was not to be on the property, and the appellant complied. Once that fence was put up and established, gates were put on, no trespassing signs were put on. On April 29th, I was dispatched personally up to that property due to the fact that the appellant again was on that property when he was already asked once by a state trooper and the property management company to leave the property. When I arrived, the appellant was in a vehicle, backed up against the gates with the no trespassing sign, had two German Shepherds inside the car. He had the windows down enough so the dogs you could hear them barking. And I instructed him to move away from the gate to allow the company to come in and do their business, and he refused. So at that time, for several minutes, we had a little bit of a stalemate. He would not comply with moving out of the way so the company could do their work. Eventually, he did. And then we had a conversation, as well as the state marshal who was sitting next to me here, had a conversation that he was not to come back to the property again until some of this civil litigation that was going on took place and was transpired, and it was all to avoid confrontation with the management company. So in May 2nd of 2020, a trooper from my office was again dispatched up to that area where that quarry is, and again the appellant was on the property inside the fencing where the no trespassing signs had been posted. That trooper was able to contact the appellant, explain to the appellant again that he was not to be on that property based on what we had already instructed him, as well as what the property owner had instructed him, or the management company. So that was the third time he was warned, and at that point he was issued a simple trespass ticket, which is a monetary fine. In May 15, 2020, my office was contacted again. The appellant was on the property once again. The management company had called us. They had some concerns. We went up there. This trooper did. He spoke with the appellant. The appellant stated to the trooper that he thought that he could be on the property as long as the management team was on the property. That was not the case, so he was subsequently placed into custody on the fourth time for the criminal trespass in the first degree. So now I'll direct your attention to my exhibit number 3, which is the Town of Tallinn Office of the Fire Marshal. And again, this is establishing a pattern of the appellant's behavior. The appellant had applied for a fire burn permit, and he was issued a cease and disorder by our town fire marshal due to the fact that he was burning items that he should not be burning. And that was after 5 p.m., which the permit says that he cannot be burning after 5 p.m. The fire department was dispatched. They had to use all of their apparatus, fire department vehicles, to put that fire out. And again, it just shows the pattern here, again, of just a total disregard, you know, for instructions, authority, et cetera. Nothing further.
Okay. Sir, do you have any questions of
yes.
either witness based on what they just testified
yes.
to?
Is a demolition code, is that a crime?
I don't know.
Is a building inspector order a crime, an ordinance violation?
I don't know.
Were you aware of a moratorium placed by the state?
Not aware.
Did I try to make you aware of it?
I don't believe so.
Was an insurance claim ever put into the insurance company?
You would have to tell me because I don't know.
Oh, okay. Was I injured during the arrest?
I have no idea.
Have you have any records of me involved in anything being violent?
Other than you using your dogs to intimidate people as well as myself?
With what he has just said, I really feel you should see these pictures. Because this is damages done to me by the police.
Sir, I don't see how that's relevant to this case.
You
might have a claim against the police. This has to do with
and I have a,
your suitability.
And I have the insurance history showing that I never had any claims put in anything.
Okay, we'll get there. Do you have any other questions of the witness? Either witnesses.
Could I come back to that? Because I'm thinking.
Sure. While you're doing that, does the board have any questions of either witness?
I do.
Colonel Overturf.
Detective,
sure.
I'll ask you first. Do you know the outcome of the criminal false statement case?
I don't.
Okay.
I don't.
That's the only one I had for you, sir. Trooper, we don't have a copy of the appellant's application in our packet, I don't think. I couldn't find one, and the chair couldn't find one, I believe.
Does anybody have the application?
No, I was.
Okay.
The questionnaire, or?
No, the appellant's application.
The actual application.
Oh. Okay.
We did not receive that. So when you were going through the list, it seems like part of the suitability case is the appellant's inaccurate application.
Correct.
So without that, so I'll just have to, that's why I have to ask you the questions, because I can't reference it. You stated there were three or four, I believe you said arrests, that he did not list?
That's correct.
Okay. Of those, or any of those, do any of those fall within the exceptions, like they had been dismissed or nollied, so he did not have to list them?
Not at the time of his application, they were not nollied.
Okay, so they were still pending cases or active cases
correct.
At that time?
Correct.
You didn't, and you also didn't say, was the rest of the application accurate?
Other than I stated with the conviction.
That's so, so he, there were convictions that he did not also place on there?
That's correct.
And what were those?
That was for the building code violation where he had 1 year probation and a $500 fine.
Okay. And that, and okay. Thank you. That's all I have.
Other questions by board.
I had generally the same questions. You're making this the allegation form is not correct. The application, but we don't have it. Another thing, the judicial branch lists the false statement as a conviction, guilty. 364 days jail, execution suspended, conditional discharge 1 year. I don't know if that was part of your packet or, you know, it's on the, you don't have that information?
I didn't submit that information to you.
I just have it by looking up at the...
Yeah, we do.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's on judicial. A sentence date of 10-6.
It's a 300...
Original arrest was 9/12/19, so it was pending between 2019 and 2022. What was the date of application?
February 23rd, 2021. So those cases were pending at the time he filled out the application.
Okay, what was the conviction date?
Conviction date is 10/6/22.
Yes.
And the arrest date is 9/12/19. And you say there's, the box is checked for no arrests on the application?
The box is checked, yes, for arrest, and the only thing inside there is 2020.
Oh, okay.
So I'm assuming that's
so that
the criminal mischief arrest. I mean, I'm sorry, the criminal trespass arrest.
Because the false statement was February...
2019.
Right.
Okay.
So the false statement should have been on there.
Right, the false statement should have been on there as well as the two other...
Demolition code in 99 and building inspector order
right.
in 2000.
Right, they were not on the application.
Sir, Trooper, can I ask you... We're not supposed to be discussing his address, but can I ask you what the digits are on his address listed on the application?
He listed as 131.
Sir, do you live at a 131?
That's the quarry property, yes.
So that's where you live, at a quarry?
That's the property. That's
okay.
The quarry property. That's my
Sir,
address.
Sir, where do you live?
That's my address.
Where do you sleep at night?
That's what I'm going to say. That's my address, and then
Sir,
I have the contiguous property.
There is a jurisdictional issue here that we need to decide where you live.
Right.
Where do you live?
I'm saying it's 131 Mountain Spring Road, which is contiguous to 390 Old Post Road. It's both those addresses. One's my physical address, and one's my mail address.
Where do you sleep at night?
The 390 Old Post Road.
And that's in Tolland?
Yes.
That's true. That's accurate.
That's accurate.
Where were we?
Questioning the trooper.
Questioning the trooper. Were you done questioning the trooper?
Yes, I was all done. That's what you got.
Other questions for either witness? Now that you've had a chance to think, do you have questions of either witness?
What determines a false statement if something was stolen?
Good questions of the trooper.
What's determining a false statement if something was stolen?
Are you asking me?
Yes.
What's determining the false statement?
Yeah.
You provided a false statement to the state trooper, and we have another witness that provided another statement.
The other witness has told me that it was his son that saw me. And I said, Rocco, what are you talking about? He said, well, I wasn't even there, and I don't want to have my son involved, so I'm saying I'm going to be the one saying it. So that's who's making the false statement, him or I? And...
I'm sorry, was that a question?
Don't give testimony. Those
okay.
questions.
What was the distance from where he said he saw me and the elevation? It just, it's impossible. So where was he saying that he saw me from?
He's, apparently his property backs up to your at the time, quarry.
It doesn't. His property does not.
He in his sworn written statement, he said
and
that
he's wrong.
He heard this piece of equipment making a lot of noise. He wondered what was going on. He walked into his backyard up a hill and then overlooked the quarry. That's I don't know what the distance. I don't think in the statement I asked him specifically how many feet.
And there's a significant elevation difference from his house to the quarry and the long distance.
Ask questions. Don't testify.
Okay.
Sorry.
Can Kevin speak on my behalf on my character.
We'll get there. This is still their case. So you have the opportunity to cross-examine, so if you're done cross-examining him.
I guess I am, for now.
Okay. Trooper, any other witnesses? Okay. You may tell us what you'd like us to know.
Well, I have documents showing that I never put in any insurance claim. I have documents from the court saying that there was a stay on the property. I should never have been taken off the property. When I was taken off the property, the handcuffs were really put on my wrist extremely hard and tight. And that's why I'm saying I would like the board to see everything, to be aware of the full picture, because you're not getting the full picture.
It's your opportunity, sir, this is your opportunity to put on your case. So, and I don't mean to interrupt, but I do not believe, you know, and if I'm incorrect, I do not believe there's any allegations that there was any insurance fraud here. Was there ever a warrant for insurance fraud or anything like that?
No, sir.
Was there? So I don't see where the insurance comes into play. There's no testimony from.
Well, then why would I be saying?
Well, no, I'm just saying. Okay, that's why we're not interested regarding the insurance. It's not part of the testimony. They didn't say you did an insurance scam.
Actually, that's what the neighbor did say.
That might be what the neighbor said, sir, but the basis of the arrest, trooper or detective, was the false statement the appellant made to the police regarding the stolen property, correct?
That's correct, ma'am.
So that's what I'm trying to bring out. How could I have said it was stolen if it wasn't stolen?
At this point, it doesn't matter. You were convicted. The court record is it's a conviction showing you guilty of the false statement.
But then there's the Alfin doctrine that I disagreed with.
So, sir, I'm trying to understand what you're saying. So are you saying that you didn't tell the police that your property was missing or stolen or taken or anything?
I said it was stolen, yes. Because it was stolen.
I guess I'm just confused because you're in agreement, so I don't understand where.
Well, why is that a false statement? That's what I don't understand. I never understood that. If I call the police and I tell them my hammer or my car or my whatever is missing, mm-hmm. and then I'm being accused of a false statement and no one's doing any work to find out where it is.
Oh, so you're saying that it's still your belief to this day that that property was stolen?
Absolutely.
Okay, I get it. Trooper, do you have any questions of the appellant? Does the board have any questions of the appellant?
I'm just going to confirm, you pled guilty under the Alfredo Doctrine to the, Alfred Doctrine to the criminal false statement, correct?
Correct.
And received a sentence of 364 days?
Yes.
Okay. And that was on?
10-16.
And that's going to, what is that, trial right now or something?
No,
you've been convicted of that.
That's a civil case.
Yeah, you've been convicted of that. Why didn't you list that on your application?
I asked when I filled out the application, what do I have to put in? Because I did make record, because again, I had my mortgage license and I had, when I applied for that initially, I said there was the demolition.
I'm asking, why didn't you put that on your
pistol permit? This is what I'm getting at. I have a linear way of thinking. So, it's just that, I guess that never even entered my mind because I asked specifically about things that were happening right then and there, and I just don't really know.
Didn't just the criminal trespass arrest either, right?
That was
nollied.
It was nollied along with, around the same time as that case. So it was nollied after the application.
So after, at the time it should have been?
At the time it should have been.
At the time you were filling it out, it was not?
Correct.
Clearly you remembered it because you're talking about the handcuffing and all that.
Right.
The pictures you have of the handcuffs, that's from the 2019 arrest?
From the trespass.
The 2020 arrest?
From the trespass, which the property was still mine.
May 15th.
I was not trespassing on my property. That's my contention.
I think the reason I'm asking the questions is because what I'm looking at is an improper application. So you had been arrested twice. Both charges were pending at the time of your application in 2021.
I wasn't physically handcuffed and arrested.
Well, you,
when
those pictures that you wanted to show us.
I'm talking about from the demolition. The building came down. I cleaned it up during the weekend.
I'm talking about the false statement arrest from 2019 and the 2020 arrest, which was what?
May 15th. For criminal trespass.
So you
the
had
trespass
better.
Was not a, it's a moot point because I own the property.
Okay, you're just not following me. So I'm not so much looking at the conduct of whether you trespassed or not. What I'm looking at is what you put on your application to Holland, which was, have I ever been arrested in the last, or have I ever been arrested, I think, the last. What's the question?
That's the reason why it was put on.
If you could
just
hold on
one
second, Trooper, if you could read the question for the record.
So under criminal history, have you ever been arrested for any crime in any jurisdiction? Yes or no? If yes, list all arrests indicating charges, locations, dates of arrest, and dispositions.
I asked.
And he checked yes.
He checked yes.
And put 2020, and that was it.
And that was it.
And I had the guidance from the girl in the office, because I asked her, I said, I was arrested, but this is all pending. And she said, well, just put the things that you were arrested for that you knew about, which was the demolition, which wasn't a demolition, it was just a cleanup.
The demolition was pending in 2021?
No.
When were you arrested for the demolition?
99, I think that was.
And you didn't list that?
That's what I did.
That's all you listed?
So he was convicted of the demolition?
Under convictions, Trooper, what is written under convictions?
On the application?
Yes.
Yeah, it'd be easier to have the application.
On the application.
Oh, on the
his
application.
I'm sorry about that.
On the application, he checked he's never been convicted. Checked off the box, no.
Okay.
And is there a record of a conviction on his record?
Yes, it's the 2000 arrest of the building inspector ordinance, 1 year probation, a $500 fine.
So the demolition case from 1999 is not a conviction?
It's not. It's a,
okay,
it's
so
a
that's
one,
not an issue.
Right.
That's not an issue, sir.
And that's what I asked the girl when I was filling out.
Okay, and that's fine, because I think we're all in agreement the demolition case has nothing to do with anything. Does anybody else have questions of the appellant? Okay, sir, you indicated you have another witness?
Yes, Captain.
Okay, you may ask him questions.
Yeah, you're supposed to ask me.
Oh, yeah. First, can we identify him?
This is a friend of mine, Kevin.
Yes, sir, can you please identify yourself for the record?
My name is Kevin C. McCruel. Last name spelling is M, small c, capital C, R-E-W-E-L-L, senior.
Thank you, sir. Go ahead.
Could
you speak up, sir? We need to make a record. She needs to hear that in this microphone, and we all need to hear you.
There's a microphone here. You can just project.
Do you believe the property was mine when I was arrested? Removed from the property? Can you clarify that?
I can't believe anything, but I do know that there was a moratorium with regard to ejectments and evictions that was currently in effect, with a memorandum produced by Chief Judge James Abrams of the Chief Civil Judge of the Connecticut Superior Court at the time that your property was converted from Talon Quarry to Copar Operations. You couldn't be ejected by anyone.
I was.
Per order of the Chief Judge and Governor of the State of Connecticut. Those copies of those memorandum.
I'm not following.
Anything else?
Yeah. With,
what do you mean you're not following?
What are you talking about ejecting? You were arrested for trespassing. Okay, that's different.
How could I be trespassing on my own property?
Okay. All right, again, I don't think you're listening. Is this seems to be a question of what you disclosed on your application, not whether you're guilty of trespassing or guilty of making a false statement. It's what you disclosed on your application. I don't, okay. That's why I don't think you're following. I think it's immaterial whose land was what. It's what you put on your application and why. Do you have any other questions?
No.
Okay. Does the trooper have any questions of this witness? Does the board have any questions of this witness? Sir, do you have any other witnesses?
No.
Okay. Would you like to make a closing statement?
Guess not.
Trooper, would you like to make a closing statement?
Very brief. In conclusion, it's the issuing authority's opinion that possessing a firearm comes with the utmost responsibility and sound judgment. Based upon all the facts and circumstances presented to you in this case by the issuing authority, we are asking the board to deny the appellant a permit to carry a firearm based on suitability.
Brief factual.
This is a denial by the Talon Resident Trooper's Office. The denial is for suitability. The base of the denial is, on one point, is the inaccurate listing of arrests and convictions on the appellant's application. There were several pending arrests that should have been listed based on testimony on the appellant's application, including a criminal trespass and criminal false statement arrest, and there were also at least one conviction that should have been listed and was not.
Excuse me, you're saying something about the criminal trespass, and I'm trying to bring it up that it was still my property.
Okay. Again, this is just the testimony. Mm-hmm. That was at that time of the application. That was still a pending case, correct?
Okay.
The other is an incident in which the appellant reported to the Talon Resident Trooper's Office of the Connecticut State Police that he had a hydraulic hammer stolen from his property. He gave a written statement to that effect. The investigation by a detective from the Connecticut State Police led to an application for an arrest warrant for criminal false statement. That warrant was signed, and the appellant subsequently pled guilty to criminal false statement. And there was also several trespass incidences, which I'm not really weighing in because that seemed more of a civil matter at that time.
Comments by the board. I'll make one comment. It pertains to the denial letter, which which I think could have been clearer, which I believe caused some confusion today for the appellant. And this is very thick package because there's a large case at the end. So I apologize, and I'm going as quickly as I can. So this is an August. Yeah. I don't think it's clear in this letter, this is direct to the trooper, what exactly the denial was for. And I can see why he was bringing up the demolition code. The only thing that gives me trouble in this case is the application, which is testimony was given about what was in the application. I don't think that the appellant gave a full application because he did not answer the question about the arrest completely. Also think that I don't understand why he's listing his address the way he does, as the 131 address rather than the 390 address. I don't know if that's grounds for a denial. Definitely a strange case. And those are my thoughts. Whether they matter or not. Any other comments? Okay, Attorney Sinetti.
Well, following our the introductory comments you made at the beginning of the hearings today, I don't see that the appellant has produced enough evidence to overturn the presumption in favor of the issuing authority. So I'll vote for the issuing authority this time.
Colonel Lewis.
Issuing authority, same reasons.
Colonel Overturf.
Issuing authority.
Mr. Gray.
Issuing authority.
Chief Rosenzweig. I think the issuing authority, regardless of what the town official conversation may have had, I think the question is clear on the application. We've seen I know we don't have the application in our record, but we've seen this application hundreds, if not thousands of times. The question is clear. Have you ever been arrested? And then list the specifics. And you didn't do that. I think that's clear. So I think the issuing authority is entitled to a complete and accurate application. That's the only reason I'm voting for the issuing authority. I'm not concerned with really any of the other conduct at this point. So that's 6-0 in favor of the issuing authority. Thank you all.